David Tarkelson. I'm a soil scientist for Agriculture Research Service in Kimberley, Idaho. And I'd recognize my co-author, Dave Bjornberg, who's an irrigation a specialist there. But my title today is about improving nitrogen management for sugar beet production in the Pacific Northwest. To give you a little bit of introduction, this is kind of the major sugar beet growing areas in the country. It's not a huge area, but there's lots of sugar produced here. In Idaho and in Western Oregon, which is represented by I believe that's green, I'm colorblind, but you know what I'm talking about, you know where Idaho is. It looks green or red, depending on how I look at it. So this is the Amalgamated Sugar Company's growing area. This is a grower-owned cooperative, and there's about 170,000 acres annually that produces sugar beets in this area. And the average sugar beet yield in the last 10 years is about 34 tons per acre. And this produces about 6.5 million tons of sugar beets, from which about close to a million tons of sugar sucrose is extracted. Okay. Now, if you look at the root yield over time in this area, we can see that there's a very constant linear increase in general over time in sugar beet yield. And this equates to about a ton of sugar beets improvement every 4 years. And it's been pretty consistent all the way back to the 1920s. And most of this improvement is due to genetic improvement in the sugar beets. There's a very heavy emphasis on improving genetics and varieties in the sugar beet industry. The sugar beet industry, in combination with the Agriculture Research Service out of Kimberley, where I'm located, as well as out of Salinas, California, has spent a lot of time working on improving the genetics in sugar beets. And so a lot of this improvement can be given to those improvements in genetics. But also at the same time, we do a better job of managing irrigation water and nutrients, tillage, planting, harvesting, etc., that is also played into this. Now, why would we need to worry about looking at nitrogen? Well, I'm going to give some justifications why, but one of them is as our genetics improve, our yields increase, that lends justification for evaluating our nitrogen management within those systems. If you look at the latest University of Idaho recommendations, that research that gave those recommendations was conducted from 1993 to 1997, and that's shown by this shaded area on the figure. And at that time, the average sugar beet yields were about 25 tons per acre. As you can see, we've drastically improved that. We're now about 13 tons per acre higher than we were at that point in time. And so the question is do we need to improve the recommendations? And history has shown that is probably the case. If you look at the University of Idaho recommendations and the amalgamated recommendations, they basically coincide with each other. They've been a very good collaboration between the two groups, and those recommendations in the past have been equivalent. Oftentimes, amalgamated has used the University of Idaho recommendations. And they look at recommendations in terms of the pounds of nitrogen needed to grow a ton of sugar beets. And so that's kind of how they think there. And so that's a number that they're very familiar with. If you throw the number 7, 8 out, that's something that means something to them, okay? And so over time, we've seen that research has adjusted these nitrogen requirement values. If you go back in the 1970s in Idaho, that number was around 11. That was kind of the rule of thumb. So we want to put 11 pounds of nitrogen on for every ton of sugar beets you expect to grow that year. Research came out in the mid-70s, which lowered that down to 8. And that most current research back in the mid-90s lowered that down to 7, okay, as the optimum rate. Now, when I'm talking about nitrogen, pounds of nitrogen, we're talking about both in terms of soil nitrogen. We're talking nitrate nitrogen and ammonium nitrogen plus supplemental fertilizer nitrogen. Okay, so they count for both of those things together to get that nitrogen requirement value. So they multiply that by the yield goal, and then they get a total requirement. So an example would be using the past recommendation or the current recommendation of 7 pounds of nitrogen per ton times 30 tons per acre. We need to have 210 pounds on there, both soil plus fertilizer. Okay. Now, another justification. You can't see this graph, it was kind of blurry, but Idaho has an issue with elevated nitrate levels within their aquifers, particularly in the Snake River Plain. These are considered what we call nitrate priority areas, where a significant proportion of that groundwater in these red areas exceeds the EPA limit of 10 parts per million nitrate. And there's a consensus amongst most people in Idaho, including producers, that agriculture does play a role in that nitrate in the groundwater. So there's always this push and this need to do a better job of utilizing nitrogen that we use to grow our crops, so increasing our nitrogen use efficiency within those systems. And so continually upgrading and evaluating what our needs are is important to all Idahoans. So because this research, we conducted research to try to evaluate the need for updating the recommendations. And this research was conducted between 2005 and 2010. That's 14 site years of total data. These locations were across the entire sugar beet growing area. They were conducted by myself, Dave Bjornberg, and about four or five agronomists from the Amalgamated Sugar Company themselves. They're very well trained agronomists and did a very good job of within their experiments. These sites range in soil type. We went from basically a beet sand all the way to a clay loam soil. Lots of variety there across that area. All the sites followed a small grain, which is very typical within the rotations in Idaho for sugar beets to follow a small grain. All the sites had very uniform stand of sugar beets with acceptable populations, so there's really no experimental errors account of in that area, and all the crops were irrigated to meet crop water requirements. Our nitrogen rates varied among the studies, but they ranged from 0 to 360 pounds of nitrogen per acre. Each site had at least four nitrogen rates, including a control. All the nitrogen was applied prior to the four-leaf stage, which is critical in sugar beet production. Research has shown that nitrogen has to be on early. If it goes much beyond that stage, then you start hurting yields. All sites were replicated 4 to 8 times in a randomized complete block design. And soil available nitrogen in the spring was tested at 1 foot in increments in the top 3 feet. And we test for both nitrate nitrogen and ammonium nitrogen in our soils. Ammonium tends to be a significant source of nitrogen in our arid soils. And so in the graphs I'll show in a few minutes, we'll have one of the axes is labeled as N supply, and that, just remember, that refers to both fertilizer plus the soil nitrogen. We harvested at least 70 foot a row. We want to make sure we get plenty of area harvested, so we had with good data. We analyzed that for yield. From each plot, we had two 25-pound samples that were sent to the Sugar Labs Care Lab, and they actually analyzed the samples for percent sugar, all the different constituents that go into determining our sucrose yield, which I label here as ERS, which stands for Estimated Recoverable Sucrose. And that's the typical number that they're interested in, the amount of sugar they're getting per acre. We analyzed each site to determine whether there was a nitrogen response or not. And if there was, then we used a adjacent mean T test to determine maximum yields. And then we compared this data to the past recommendations to see if we needed to do some adjustments or not. Just to get an idea of how much nitrogen we had in our profile, our average was about 104 pounds per acre. We ranged from 55 to 145. Now, if we are using the current recommendation of 7, at our current yield goals, all of these sites, even the highest site, would have needed supplemental nitrogen of at least 60 pounds of nitrogen per acre. So these were all considered responsive based upon the old recommendations. If you look at the data, however, only 6 of the sites responded to nitrogen, where you had as the nitrogen supply increased, we had an increase in sucrose yield up to a maximum. 8 of the sites, majority of them, were not responsive. So theoretically we were getting maximum yields with no applied fertilizer nitrogen. Okay, although the recommendation of 7 pounds per ton would have recommended applying nitrogen. And you can see our sucrose yields are pretty high. Maximum yield in from 10,000 to 12,000 pounds of sucrose per acre. Well, the question is why are they unresponsive? And a couple of explanations, but the one that I'm heavily leaning toward for the majority of this is that our soils, although low in organic matter in Idaho, 0.9 to 1.5%, research in the past, over and over and over again, has shown that we have a very high mineralization capacity within those soils. And we haven't got a very good handle on that to account for it at this point in time. And so my research, Del Westerman, who did a lot of research back in the day, has also shown that as well. So the most logical explanation is this idea of measuring and supplying nitrogen to the plant through mineralization that's not being accounted for in the soil test in the spring is significant and can be likely one of the major reasons we're not seeing a response in 8 of these sites, 8 of the 14 sites. Now this is the graph showing for each site year, all the 14 site years, the nitrogen requirement in pounds of nitrogen per ton of beets that was required to get maximum sucrose yield. You can see that across all site years, our average requirement was 4.5 pounds of nitrogen per ton. You can see the majority of them, all 13 of them, were significantly below the current recommendation of 7, and all of them are below the recommendation before that, which was 8. Okay, the one site that's above 7 there, site number 8, that was the site that was the sand. Okay, so that was basically pure beet sand, which showed that it was just less efficient. So we had a lot of water flushing through the root zone, carrying nitrate with it. It wasn't quite as efficient in terms of the texture and the irrigation management there. But it's also important to realize that a lot of these sites were silt loams, which is the main soil texture in Idaho that sugar beets are grown on. But also, several of them, at least 3 of them, were sandy loam soils as well. But they were sandy textured, but they had enough silt in them to be able to retain that nitrate and that water, I guess, is the big thing, and be fairly efficient. And so we can see here that our current sugar beet varieties and our management lends itself to potentially being able to lower our recommendation down further. Okay, so if we look at this in terms of how much nitrogen am I over applying if I would use 7, this graph here is showing. And this is showing the excess nitrogen fertilizer that would have been applied on those sites if 7 pounds of nitrogen per ton were used above that which was actually needed. And the average amount was 90 pounds of nitrogen per acre in excess across all 14 of those sites. Now producers are interested in this number because it means money to them. And so what we've done this year is we put this research together into like a little brochure we're going to hand out to the producers and growers and consultants this year during the our sugar beet meetings. And they're interested in the dollars. And so we put together this little table here that kind of shows you the cost of that excess 90 pounds of nitrogen across those sites. And so this is a little table here showing an increase in nitrogen costs, both in terms of the pounds, the dollars per pound of nitrogen, as well as the dollars per ton of urea, which is typically how producers think. So at current fertilizer prices, we're hovering that 90 pounds of excess nitrogen is going to cost the producers around $50 or so per acre, more than what they actually need. And so we're in this process of trying to get these producers to think, okay, 7's too high, because it was hard to get them to think 7 was enough at one point. Okay, we've been battling that since I got there. And they're starting to come down a lot and doing better. And now we're going to be asking them to start evaluating their systems to maybe lower that more, and at least getting them to experiment a little bit with it. You know, plant part of your pivot at a lower nitrogen rate to see it and see what happens, and to get confidence in that. But we're confident that our research is really going to be, we're confident that it's showing that we can start reducing those costs. And so this is one last slide here, showing you the time frame of the previous recommendations in the 90s, and then the recommendations, the research that goes into these recommendations. But you can see that beyond that ended in 2010, but we're also starting to continue to see this increase in yield. And so this is showing that we need to keep up on these recommendations and evaluating these things over time, because they are continually going to be changing. And so just our conclusions that we gave the producers and our recommendations, this is the ones we're going to be giving them. We're trying to let them know that we're maximizing sure yield, we'll save them money, and they can apply less fertilizer. We want to make sure they understand they need to sample their soils to 3 feet if they can. Do a good job of soil sampling to account for that nitrate and nitrogen. It's extremely important. On heavier textured soils, we recommend that applying no more than 6 pounds of nitrogen per ton of beet. It's a little bit higher than our average of 4.5, but we don't want to be undersupplying, so we're trying to get them to drop off at least 1 pound from the previous recommendation, with a caveat that, you know what, you likely can get away with less than that as well. On the coarse textured soils, we understand that they leak a little bit more in terms of nitrogen, and it's a little harder to manage those. And so we're saying that up to 7 pounds of nitrogen per ton may be required on these really sandy soils. And with that, I am done. Thank you, Bryson. Any questions? Well, that's a good question. I think that we didn't necessarily do this based upon variety. These are various varieties. And the issue with varieties is they change so frequently, especially in sugar beet. You'll go from, within 2 years, you'll have a whole host of different varieties they have commercialized. And so, to answer your question, there could be some drastic difference between varieties, but it's hard to do a study where we measure those, and by the time we're done, they no longer exist anymore because they've moved on. The varieties in sugar beets are changing so quickly, it's hard to really to manage that. Yeah.
So, any manure history on these sites, and you talk about the high nitrate in the water, what was the nitrate of these sites? How much are they getting out of irrigation water?
They get very little out of irrigation water. Most of the water here comes from the Snake River. It's very low in nutrients. Yes. And most of these sites had not had a lot of manure applied to them, at least not recently, but that's changed now. It's kind of hard to find sites in Idaho now that haven't had some history of manure application to them, which is a whole other issue the sugar beet industry is really concerned about. And so lots of research right now going on. How do we manage nitrogen in these sites that have had manure applied? Because we have, especially in the Twin Falls area, there's 500,000 dairy cows in a 5-county area. A lot of manure, and they have to distribute that, so it's getting spread around.
Yeah, to be done. But thank you.